This morning, I just want to go ahead and get into God's word here. And the title of the message is A Great Calm. A Great Calm. A Great Calm is about believing for and experiencing a secure and a comforting peace through Christ and his word. For the past couple of weeks, you have heard me speak from behind the pulpit of the storm in which our church has been going through. If you've been here on Sunday or even on Wednesdays, you've heard me make mention of that. And when I say church, I'm referring to what is happening in the lives of many of our people in this local body, individuals and families and ministries, not just your pastor and not just what happens in my life. So please don't take it as such. I'm talking about all of us together. Because behind the scenes, there's been so much going at a very high level from the front of this church to the balcony, from side to side, where it seems like the storms have been pretty intense in people's lives. Now, as you heard me say last week, if you were here, we may not be completely through it, but we do feel it is that we're passing through it. And I believe we're on the back side of it. Now, while that is encouraging to proclaim, one thing is for certain, and that's for all of us, I believe, here this morning, is that we need a moment. We need a season in our life where there is some peace and calm. How many are ready for some peace and calm in your life? Amen. Are you ready for that? Now, I know the question may be, Pastor, is that really possible? Because you talk about it. You talk about it behind the pulpit. We live in a difficult time, a difficult season. We're in those latter part of the last days. We're in toxic times. Our culture, the atmosphere, the things around us, not just in the political realm, but just in our communities themselves and in people's conversations and in homes and in relationships and even in schools and workplaces. There's just so much going on and so much heaviness in this world. Is it really possible for us to find some peace and calm in our lives? Well, my answer is a very resolute yes, I believe so. But I believe it's only going to be found in one area, and that is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. For I know that everything of this world, everything that you and I see, all these things are pressing against us, all the junk that you and I face each and every day, all of that is eventually going to fade away, while what Jesus Christ has to offer, that's going to last for all eternity. And that's what's been placed inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to just take you for a few moments to what it's like for us. And is it possible for us to experience this great calm within our lives? I want to take you to a very familiar passage that many of you know well in Mark chapter number 4. Now, if we would read around this, we understand it's been a long day of ministry for Jesus and the disciples. Jesus has spent himself teaching and ministering to the people. The disciples have been right there with him. They've been ministering along by his side. They have been the crowd control, making sure everybody's getting taken care of. Now, as it comes to the end of the day, they are very much looking forward to some peace and some quiet, a chance just to break away and rest up for the next day of ministry. So they set sail across the lake that we're going to see here in Scripture in just a moment. That lake is the Sea of Galilee, and it was a calm evening. Now, perhaps they're thinking that this is going to be one of those moments where they just sit back, they enjoy the breeze in their face, and they just take in the sunset. For Christ, he was looking forward to finding a good place to catch up on some sleep. Because when he got in a boat, he took a nap. That's what his goal was. Now, obviously, from our text, this crossing of the lake is going to look much different, perhaps, than what the disciples had in their minds. Go with me, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? And it says they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They're still learning who Jesus is. They're still learning who they're hanging out with. But there's some great lessons here that you and I can learn from. I just want to kind of break this down in three different ways here this morning. First, I want to talk about the actual characteristics of the storm as mentioned there in verse number 37. Scripture tells us the storm came upon them. In other words, it was sudden and it was unexpected. It is described in Scripture here as being great and huge and furious, depending on what version you're reading from this morning. The waves are very high. They're beginning to break over into the boat. They're causing it to fill with water, which it's about to sink. The intensity of the breaking waves, they were very destructive. And as the storm gained energy from the shallow waters of the Sea of Galilee, the boat was clearly in danger of being sunk and the passengers in danger of drowning themselves. The storm here was no respecter of a persons. It did not care who was in the boat, who it was impacting in their life, whoever was caught in its fury. Now, I believe it is very obvious for you and I this morning as we read about this violent storm that came upon Jesus and the disciples that it represents the storms of life in which you and I face. Church, you and I know that life storms may come in the form of many various trials. It could be temptations, persecution. It could be an unexpected sickness or an unexpected injury. It could be financial difficulty in your life, a disaster that's come upon you. It could be betrayal from someone that's close to you. It could be broken relationships. It could be just a demonic attack against you. It could be deep oppression. It could be an attack against your children, your marriage, and your family. It could be any of these things and not more. That's not an exhaustive list. I know the things that I've read right here are the many things that's going on in people's lives. The many things that's happening in your lives today, I know there have been many storms that have come up against you. And when they occur, maybe not always, but many times, they will be sudden, they will be unpredictable, and if we're not careful, they'll be violent and we'll allow that to get the best of us. We know the storms of life are very real. Now, because of the geographical landscape of the Sea of Galilee, the settings for these type of storms that they experienced was very unpredictable, even though they were common. Think about it. The storms there over the Sea of Galilee were very common, but they were unpredictable about when they would come, how they would come, and the intensity of what they would be. You see, the lake sits hundreds of feet below sea level, and the surrounding hills, they're as high as 2,000 feet. So when that cool air comes over the top of those hills and it hits those tropical waters, the shallow waters of the Sea of Galilee, when those air masses collide, it causes that storm. And if it's just right, it's going to continue to build in its intensity as it goes across the lake. And it was pretty violent, as we read here in Scripture. Now, I think it's important for you and I to know, to get in that boat and to cross it and to say, oh, there's never been a storm hit the lake, that would be silly because they were very common in the area. But you just didn't know when it was going to happen and you didn't know how it was going to happen and the intensity of it. And I think that's important for you and I as we take this story and we relate it to our lives today, because we would be silly to think that there's never going to be a storm in our life. Would it be silly to think that the atmosphere around us is not set up for something to happen? So we've got to be prepared in our minds. We got to be prepared in our hearts, because although, you know, we don't want to go through them, they are common. We may not know when or how they're going to approach us. We've just got to know in our hearts that storms of life are very real. Just as the disciples here experience this, we will do the same in life. Storms will come. We know what Jesus said at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. You know the story very well, the passage very well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. It's like the person who builds their house upon the rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it will not collapse because it is built upon the bedrock. It is built upon the words and the truth and the rock of Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. Verse 26 says, but if you hear the teaching and you ignore it, that's foolish. And it's going to be as though you built your house upon a sand. And when the storms rise against that home, it's going to collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus teaches us on that beautiful Sermon on the Mount, at the very end of that, you know what? With all of this that he has said, just expect there are going to be some storms in your life. They may be sudden. They may be furious. They may be very unpredictable. But just know you can be prepared for it. Because even if you're hit with such a storm, you can still be standing when it's all said and done. And I believe that's what God has for you and I. But we've got to prepare our hearts and our minds for this moment. I was thinking about my brother Connell Sims. I don't know if Donna's here this morning or not. I was looking for her. I haven't seen her this morning. We buried our brother on Friday. We had a memorial service for him. A couple weeks ago, we had a massive heart attack. No, wasn't able to come through that, and he passed. Now, this was an incredible man of God, and I had the honor to be able to officiate his service on Friday. They've been attending our church for about 10 years. And so Michelle stood in for them as a witness when they got married years ago. And so I was talking about his life as we're glorifying God and we're celebrating his life and the life that he lived for Jesus Christ. One of the things that I loved about Connell was that he was a man of God's word. Now, we had been through a lot together, me and that family. A lot of storms had hit them. Some of them were very unpredictable. Some of them were things that were pretty violent against him, but they always stood strong. And one of the things I loved about him, no matter what, he was always smiling. And I'm not just saying it because that sounds like a good thing to say on someone that's passed. He was always smiling. He had a good demeanor about himself. As I listened to his family and his friends talk about him on Friday, every single one of them, and Pastor Chase, you were there, they made reference to how they never heard him complain. They never heard him be like discouraged. They never really heard him be upset or be frustrated. He always had a strong sense of joy about him. And I say, praise God to that. Praise God to that. One of those reasons is because he was a man of the word. Don allowed me to have his Bible for the past couple of days, and it's a pretty good sized Bible, but it is thick. Not thick because of, you know, that's the way he bought it, because those pages were worn. He had notes all throughout there, from the front to the back. You could tell it was not a Bible that had been sitting on a shelf collecting dust. It was a Bible that he read constantly. Donna said it was rare for her. She doesn't even remember the last time. She does not remember him being up at 5 o'clock in the morning, sitting at the table and studying the word of God. And when he would leave his work, he would go to the library. He'd get out his Bible and he'd study the word of God. He would use those scriptures to encourage people that he didn't even know. Just recently, there was a man at the library that saw him and they made eye contact and they knew that they had to talk to each other. The man came over to him. Connell began to talk with him. And the next thing you know, he's sharing God's word to this individual and he encouraged him. There were many people on the job that he knew there were things going on in their life. And each one of those that were here on Friday said he was such an encouragement to us. Now, I need to tell you that he worked at the Department of Corrections. He worked in the prison. He was around prisoners. He was around a very violent atmosphere, a very depressing atmosphere, a very dark atmosphere. And I'm not putting anybody down that's in our prisons. How many just know that's probably not the most happiest place to work in the world, right? A lot of junk, a lot of stories, a lot of hurt, a lot of offense, a lot of stuff went on. And for a man to carry himself in such a strong demeanor, I look at that and say, you know why he was so strong in all of life's storms in which he faced? Because he was a man who built his life on the truth and the promises of God. He knew storms were going to come. He knew that him and Donna had certain things that they would face throughout their lives. But yet he kept his faith strong and he knew at the end of the day there would be a season where some peace and calm would come in his life as long as he kept his trust in Jesus Christ. What a powerful testimony to you and I today. So we see here that the storms, they're very real. And as your pastor, I don't like to spend as much time as what I've spent on them. I would rather go a different direction. But I'm going to hit them head on because I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. As we do, we're going to be built up inside because I believe, Michelle and I have been praying, we believe going into the final weeks of this year, there's going to be a great calm that comes upon the family of our people. You just know your pastor's prayer every single day is, God, let there be peace and calm that comes upon our families. Those that have been struggling in their lives, let there be some peace. Those that are struggling in their families, let them have some calm around their families. Those who have been hurting because of health and other issues, in the name of Jesus Christ, bring some peace and calm upon our church family. Amen? You be believing that with me. Matter of fact, we're starting to fast this week, and I'm going to ask you to join with me before we ever get into the holidays. If you can take a day just from today all the way to next Saturday, just take a moment, take some time and fast and trust God with us. Trust God with us that this peace and calm is going to come. Amen? We believe that. As we move forward here to this story, we see now the response of the disciples, because you and I can really relate with the disciples. Apologize if I get a little juicy up here, all right? I hate when they take pictures of me up here preaching because you can see. It's disgusting. I'm going to call it the anointing. It's flowing, flowing. I know that's not attractive, baby, but I love you. All right. The disciples, they panicked. They were overwhelmed. They were afraid. They were already counting themselves out as good as dead. They woke Jesus up, perhaps in order. Maybe, I don't know if they thought he was going to help him bail some water out, but they didn't have any faith. I don't even thought, you know, what was going to happen. They said to themselves, how could he even be asleep during this time? And every time I refer to this story, I think this thought. Although they were in the presence of Jesus, the one that they had been ministering with great authority and miraculous power, they had been with him on this journey, people being healed of their disease and their sickness, lepers being healed, the lame were walking, the blind could see, people were receiving joy and peace and life. He was ministering to him and all of that, and they were right there with him. And now in this moment, when an unpredicted storm hits them, their faith is gone. Their panic, their fear, their sense of perishing was a result, Jesus says, of having no faith. You see, while all was good, and we can relate to this, while all was good, they were good, right? While all is good, man, I'll be at church, I'll worship, I'll serve, I'll volunteer, I'll smile, I'll be there, I'm in. But soon as an unpredicted storm comes upon you and it gets a little bit violent, we're a lot of times like the disciples. We panic, we get fearful, we get a little bit overwhelmed, and I've seen way too many church people pull back out of the things that they should be doing because they don't even know how to move because they're such struck in the moment that they're in. That's what happened with the disciples. It overtook them. They were beside themselves. It's recorded. The disciples were thinking that Jesus didn't even care. Verse 38, it says, and they woke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I have to say, what? Again, you're in the presence of Jesus, the one who has called you, the one that spoke to you, the one that has prepared you for greater days ahead. And you think it's all over just because of this one storm that's come up upon your life? You actually think the Lord does not care? How could you guys be in the presence of Jesus all the time you have been and think that he doesn't care about you? But before we get on them, how many of us have been cotton right along? Then we're overwhelmed by one of these life storms. And it seems as though the Lord is silent. And we may not say it out loud. We may not even want to think it because we probably know it's wrong to think. But we're saying to ourselves, does the Lord even care? I think you and I can probably relate to them because those storms, they can be tough at times. Some of them more tougher than others. Sometimes you go into it and you're pretty strong. But those violent ones, the ones that shake your home, they shake your marriage, they attack your children, they shake your finances. They shake the very core of who you are. And it just kind of rocks your world in a pretty strong way. Those are incredibly difficult. And that's how I'm kind of relating this one that these disciples experienced here out on this lake. A violent storm, unpredictable, came upon them. But how many of you know, even in that violent moment, in your most vulnerable moment, that Jesus Christ, his presence is still with you, and he very much cares how you're going to come through that storm. Every circumstance that you and I deal with each and every day, he's with us every step of the way. Every thought that comes to our mind, he knows he is with us. And every single emotion that you and I have to work through, he's working through them with us. I believe that with all my heart. But at the same time in saying that, I ask the question, have I ever felt that Jesus seems silent in my life? Yeah, I gotta be very transparent with you. Knowing it's not true, but you still feel it. And I know you've been there as well. But I know that you know here this morning. Yes, the disciples panicked and perhaps we would have done the same thing. But we must know that in those moments, we're not alone. When it comes to dealing with life storms, you and I, we don't always see God move when we want him to. And sometimes his inaction, we think to ourselves, he doesn't even care. But can I tell you, in that moment in action, he is actually caring for us and he's got a superior plan in place. He's got a superior solution in place for our life. I'll take you back to Connell just for a moment. Didn't know I was going to use him this morning. I used him in the early service. Wasn't intending to. But the Lord just really keeps laying his story upon my heart. A few days ago, before his passing, I went and I was at the hospital. And of course, the pastoral team, they had been going with me. And they had been in praying him and seeing him as well. Donna, his wife, was there. And I got there, and she was sharing me a little bit about her story. Now, although I've known her for 10 years, I really didn't know her whole story. And as her pastor, I was intrigued to hear her story. In 1996, she was in a major house fire. She was burned over 80% of her body. And, of course, I knew that. You can see, you know, the scars upon her. Beautiful woman, though. At first, I never even knew that, you know, until, you know, I sat and talked and had a conversation. Burned over 80% of her body. Lost two of her children in that fire. I did not know that. until I talked with her in the hospital. At the scene, she was coded a couple times that she was gone and no longer with us. But she's with us today. She's here. So when her husband wasn't responding, here's a woman who's been there. And she said, "Pastor, I'm going to believe that God can heal him. I believe God can heal him." So I'm in the room and I'm thinking, well, let's believe together. So we laid hands upon him and we had our moment right there in that hospital room. And we prayed and we trusted what God was going to do. And we prayed. And church, I got to tell you, when I walked out of that hospital room, I was thinking to myself, wow, what are those doctors getting ready to see when they go in there? They're going to be thinking, what has happened in this room? To God be all the glory. I really felt in my spirit that God was going to raise him up. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. Now, do I sit back and say, what was wrong? Where was my faith? Did I say something wrong? Did Donna do something wrong? No, that never even crossed my mind. Because I want to tell you, I believed that God could raise him up. And Donna believed that God could raise him up. But what we also prayed is, God, we just trust you for however this looks. We believe you can heal him, and in the name of Jesus, be healed. But he wasn't healed. And even though that's an incredible storm for her, because it was sudden, it was unpredictable, they had no signs of early warnings that this was going to happen, and now the love of her life is now gone, just like that, taken from her. Is this woman going to give up on God? Not at all. What does she do? She praises the Lord. She worships the Lord. She honors the Lord, because she knows that God's plan is always greater than yours and I's. Do we want our loved one here? Absolutely. Do we want him by our side? Absolutely. God forbid that would happen to any of us. But in the grand scheme of things, no matter what fades away in this world, at the end of the day, as believers in Christ, our soul is still standing in eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything about him is so good to us, even though we can't understand even some of life's hardest moments and hardest tragedies. We're not going to give up on God. We'll be still standing on the rock when the storm passes and the storm is over. Let me take you here in just the last few things, and that is, let's look at Jesus and his response. In their desperation, Jesus does take control of the situation. For him, it's another teachable moment. Teddy White and I, we were talking afterwards in the Greek, when you study this, it's kind of like when they woke him up, he was kind of looking at him like, really? I mean, he's a little bit perturbed because he was asleep. All right, just like you and I, he was asleep. But he wakes up, he speaks, and he takes authority over nature itself, as you and I know he can. And what I love about this, and that's why we titled the message as such, the great storm, Scripture says, has now become a great calm. The great storm became a great calm because the words of Jesus and the authority that he took over the situation. I look at that and I say, wouldn't it be great if all of our storms ended like that today? I pray they do. I'm coming to church saying, Lord, we're going to pray, and there's going to be a great calm from now at least till 2025, you know. God, let there be a great calm. I know that can happen. I know that God can do it, and I'm believing that over your lives, but it may not look just like that for the disciples. So you and I just have to continue to trust God. I thought about Paul, because Paul had been in these type of storms. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us there was not a great calm because he was shipwrecked three times. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes this, the man of faith, man of God. He says, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from our own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil, in hardship, through many a sleepless night, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches in which he was dealing with. Did he want us to know how he felt? Yeah. But when you read on about the great apostle Paul, I kind of understand his statement a little bit more when he says, you know, to die is gain, you know, to live is Christ. Christ, get me out of here. No, he stayed true and he stayed faithful. And even though every storm doesn't end perhaps the way that we want it to end or we see it ending, it's still going to end. And at the end of the day, God is right there with us and we'll be standing strong. We must not be quick to forget that God is with us in every one of life's storms, and he will see us through, I believe, to a great calm. The disciples, we know the story. We know the theme of the story here. They lost their focus. They began to focus on this storm that was around them and on the waves that were coming over the boat. And anytime you do that in a life storm, you know what's going to happen. You know what the result of that's going to be. There's going to be fear. There's going to be worry. There's going to be frustration. There's even going to be a little bit of anger that rises up. There's just going to be this dark cloud that hovers over you. You know this. You've heard me speak of this. You've read it for yourself and studied it for yourself. Whenever you hear Pastor Chase, who does such a beautiful job in exhorting the Lord as he's praying over us and talking to us, you know that if your focus is in the wrong place, you know what the outcome is going to be. But if you'll put your outcome on Christ, you'll let that faith build, it's going to be a different outcome, a different solution because of Christ. You see, they quickly lost their faith, but instead, they should have quickly overcome it. I'm going to take you to verse 35. You remember what Jesus said to them before they ever got in the boat? What did he say? When evening had come, let's cross over to the other side. He'd already spoke it, right? It was already there. The promise was already there. We're going to the other side. Now, he didn't give all the details, and you and I, if you're like me, you like some of the details. He could have possibly said, hey, we're going to cross over to the other side. We're going to be hit by a storm. All's going to be okay. Don't wake me up. Just leave me alone. I'm going to pray for us now. You guys, if you have to bail some water out, it's fine. We're going to get to the other side. It'd be nice if maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to us that way, but that doesn't always happen. You know what I'm talking about? But what we got to understand is that the word is in us. The promise is given to us, just like Connell and his Bible and just like you and I. The word of God is in us. And when it comes to that moment and facing that storm, that's when you and I ought to shine for Jesus Christ. That's when our faith ought to pick up. Because, I mean, anybody can have great faith when everything is going good, right? It's in those more difficult moments when your faith really starts to shine. He spoke it. And I believe this story teaches us that he's already let us know the enemy's defeated. No matter what this worldly outcome is, the enemy's defeated. He's defeated over our homes. He's defeated over our lives. He's defeated over our children. He's defeated. And yes, we may not know all the details in between, but the enemy's defeated. And if we'll trust in God, I believe with all my heart, he will see us through to a great calm in our lives. No doubt, God's word, his promise, the series we came out of, Faithful and True, through Christ, through God, through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we have the ability just to keep trusting, keep believing, keep our attention on him, keep our attention on the authoritative power that he has over nature itself. We keep our attention on him, it's going to see us through. One of my favorite scriptures that I love well, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts, whose attention, whose minds, whose heart, whose soul is fixed on you.